everyone. Welcome to the first episode of the Bottom Up Revolution podcast in 2021, our Strong Towns Year of Action. All year long, we're going to be sharing resources, ideas, and opportunities for you to take action to make your community stronger and more resilient. Stay tuned to the end of the episode for the first big announcement in this year of action. So we're kicking off the 2021 season of the podcast with an interview with a longtime Strong Towns member, Carrie Westerbeck. Carrie is an architect and a principal of his own architecture firm, as well as an advocate who founded a Strong Towns local conversation group in his community of Bothell, Washington. I've been wanting to have him on the show for a while now because his story is one that I know so many people are going to learn from. I bet there are a lot of you out there who've thought at one point or another, I wish I could find, you know, other advocates in my neighborhood who care about making our community more resilient and then work together to get stuff done. So Carrie has done just that. In this conversation, you'll learn how he used existing community platforms to find interested neighbors, gathered people to learn about Strong Towns concepts together, shared resources with all of those people, and eventually they got three of their members elected to their city planning commission, and they took action on a whole bunch of local issues along the way. You might even want to take notes during this one if you're not currently like jogging or driving or holding a baby, whatever you do while you listen to your podcasts, because there is a lot to take in here, and so much of it is things that you can get started on right now in your own neighborhood, and I hope you do. So here's my interview with Carrie Westerbeck. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Bottom Up Revolution podcast. Today's guest is architect and Strong Towns member, Carrie Westerbeck. Carrie, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
I know that you have been on It's the Little Things a while back, but I'm guessing we have a lot of new listeners here. So can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your community?
Sure. So I live in Bothell, Washington, which is a suburban town with an old main street. That's outside, just outside Seattle. So a lot of people in Bothell, in fact, work in Seattle. So we're kind of a bedroom community, but with a small pre-World War II downtown. And it's got a, you know, a actual small town feel. But we're growing rapidly, lots of new buildings, lots of apartments, new businesses. So that's where I'm at. My wife is a school teacher and librarian. She works nearby. My kids go to school nearby. And we actually live in the downtown area of Bothell, where we've also built a small project, and I've become a developer in the past couple years. So as an architect, I had always wanted to do that and contribute buildings to my community and build community. And that's one of the main reasons we moved into downtown Bothell. We did live nearby in a town called Kenmore next door, and a more suburban place. I became a Strong Towns member and kept reading more and more through the years, quite a few years ago, and got more and more enthused about being involved in shaping my town.
And it sounds like you're doing that in a whole variety of ways. I want to talk about the group that you started, BOPOP, but actually first I'm curious to hear just briefly about the development that is it in progress or it's
complete? No, interestingly enough, we're talking on the anniversary today. Exactly 2 years ago, we broke ground on the building that I designed, I'm the architect, and we own the property. So to back up a tiny bit, so that was 2 years ago today we broke ground, and we finished it almost exactly a year ago. So we've been living in it for a year in one of the units, and then we have, I'll tell you about the building a little in brief, but we had bought a triplex that I'm in right now, where my office is, here on the same property in 2014, basically as an investment, but to redevelop so I could do some small development, because that's what I was passionate about in a sort of in somewhat urban context. So it took several years to get the design going, but I got it designed kind of in my spare time and permitted and secured the money. And all that was, you know, very challenging. It took several years to do all that. And we started building in late 2018. It was very much influenced by, I'm tight with the Incremental Development Alliance, John Anderson and his crew, and went to one of their workshops and learned a ton from him, still talk to him all the time. And I did a three-story mixed-use fourplex. And then our family lives in the top unit. We have two apartments we rent out, including one to my mom. And then we have a small retail space on the bottom floor, part of the bottom floor, that houses a barbershop, which has become like the cool barbershop in town. So that's really fun, around the corner. So that was my brainchild. I wanted to do small infill, fine grain, you know, development, incremental development. I really believe in that as a way to build towns and build community. It was a huge adventure, and it went pretty well.
Yeah, you are really walking the talk when it comes to all the things we talk about at Strong Towns.
Oh, I take it to heart. I internalize it. I go for it.
Well, I'm really inspired by what I've gotten to hear from you so far. So I wanted to talk especially today about the local advocacy community group that you started, BOPOP, which is a really fun name, stands for Bothellites for People-Oriented Places. And yeah, how did you come to start this group and why?
Great question. So as a Strong Towns member and someone who's really active and reads a lot and, you know, big fan of Strong Towns, I saw that other people like the group in South Dakota and others in strong indie groups like that were starting Strong Towns principles based city, you know, groups of Strong Towns people. And I saw the map you guys were developing where you say, you know, if your city's got an active group, let's get you on this map. And I went, you know, that's what I really want. I want to find my people, as I like to say. Other people must be into, you know, the ideas like new urbanism and incremental development. And other people must be, you know, some people in Bothell and Kenmore and the outer communities around here must know about Strong Towns. In about 2017, there's a really a large community Facebook page for our city of Bothell on Facebook. And it's now got something like 35,000 members, and there are only about, I shouldn't say only, Bothell has almost 50,000 citizens or residents, I should say.
Oh, so that's a huge number of people, especially considering some of those residents are probably children and things.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So that's almost every adult in Bothell probably. And around 2017, there was a lot of growth in Bothell, still is, and there were a lot of people griping about it, and I was, you know, thrilled by it, and I wanted to contribute to it. And I could see we were becoming more walkable, there were more businesses moving in. You know, it was also driving up costs. So there's, you know, blessings and curses of your town growing. But there were a lot of good things happening, and the city had a lot of initiatives to make things better for cyclists and walkers and stuff. So I just posted, and I think it was 2017, hey, I know some people aren't excited about the changes in Bothell, downtown Bothell, but I'm really enjoying it. And I think it's, you know, creating community and bringing lots of new businesses and vitality. And I really like the future that we're creating here, and I want to be more part of it. And if you're interested in it, you're excited about it, you know, leave me a quick message here. Or if you'd like, you can keep it private and DM me, direct message me. And so, I don't know, a couple dozen people got a hold of me that way. So I said, okay, I'll start a group on Facebook. And it took me about till the end of 2018 to finally decide to make a Facebook page and create a group. And there is a similar group that's very active down in the city of Olympia, where our state capital is, called OPOP, Olympians for People-Oriented Places. And so I quickly made this page. I'm like, what am I going to call it? I mean, it could take months to figure out a good name. You want to be clever. And I really liked OPOP because I was kind of envious because it was such a clever name, and it's kind of what we were about, although we were really going to be based on Strong Towns ideas. And we have a football field I can see out my window named after a founding family in Bothell called Pop Keeney. And we've already got the pop part in town. So I quickly contacted OPOP, the woman who began that group, fantastic. And she granted me privilege to co-opt the name. She said, sure, yeah, that's great. And so we became BOPOP, Bothellites for People-Oriented Places. And people quickly, you know, like you said, enjoyed the name because it ties into Bothell and everything. And so that's how we started. We created a page, and we quickly started doing in-person meetings in January of 2019. The same month, we were in the second month of building my fourplex. So I was very active. I was beginning BOPOP as a community advocacy group based on Strong Towns principles, and I was building 12 hours a day as a general contractor, architect, and developer. So it's really a heady, exciting time. Yeah, BOPOP had the first meeting. I was pretty happy. I think we had 8 or 9 people, but around 10, including myself, I can't remember. And almost all of them are still active today. And we have picked up some new folks, but we quickly started focusing on getting a website up and talking about advocacy work we could do to influence land use and influence council and planning commission in the city of Bothell around all kinds of strong towns oriented ideas.
That's great. So once you got started and, you know, started Facebook group and website and things like that, what did your meetings look like? Did you have like one project you were focusing on or just kind of getting to know each other to start out?
So at first, you know, it was all on my shoulders. That was okay. I took that on. So I would take my little, we met at several different places. Usually it was a community room in the police station, which is about 2 blocks from me because I'm right downtown. Occasionally we did at large and we would meet at our local restaurant or our bar or something like that. It weren't any kids coming, so it was okay. So we floated around. We didn't do it in anyone's house, but most of the time it was one of these community rooms. I would usually lug over in my little cart. I would walk over with 10 or 20 of my favorite urbanist books, my Shoup book, High Cost Free Parking and Walkable City and things like that. I'd usually create some slides. And my effort at the first 6 months or so was basically to educate everyone on the stuff they were interested in but didn't know a whole lot about because they weren't, you know, an urbanist kind of architect nerd like I was. They were interested in it and it resonated with them, but most of them didn't have that background, but they were really interested in community building and walkability, and they were really receptive to the ideas. So I showed videos about parking minimums and exclusionary zoning, crop yield as it relates to like the Urban 3 yield you get out of your downtowns. Again, that just got people even more fired up. We had movie night every like once a month. Our meetings were once a month, and every couple months we'd do videos, or we'd begin with videos and then roll into a topic. So towards the end of the year, a few months before COVID hit, November, so just over a year ago, we had our biggest meeting yet. We had a local, our one of our council members, who's also our local and now elected rep for state, our state house. She had traveled to Copenhagen to learn about their circular energy cycle. And so she did a presentation, and we had something like 40 people show up for that. And that was really going to be the trajectory for BOPOP, was have speakers, have potlucks, have events, much the way OPOP does on Olympia, to gather people around and talk about ideas. And at the same time, we were trying to develop a couple projects, and like you asked about. And so one of the things we coalesced around was getting the farmers market moved to this sort of suburban area on the edge of town. It had to move recently, a couple of years ago. And we said, well, it's never going to really get going there. Let's bring it into downtown. So we worked on helping it get moved downtown. And then, of course, it couldn't happen this last year.
I see. Okay. So the momentum was really building.
Yeah. And we did another cool thing, but I'm going to let you, I can talk and talk. I'll let you ask your next question.
No, well, tell me about the other cool thing.
I'd say the biggest thing that happened for us in 2020, and really happened in 2019, was we one of our members, Mason Thompson, was elected to city council by 5 votes. In fact, there was 2 or 3, I think it was 3 recounts. So it's a citywide vote, of course, for city council. And the person he ran against, she is a paragon in the community. She's a longtime restaurant owner, beloved. He just out campaigned her with his message. And cool thing is he borrowed on my stack of books and read all of them. And then he would go talk about like traditional neighborhood development and walkability and access to housing choice and things like that. So very much a Strong Towns related message, and it resonated with people. He won. I mean, obviously just barely, but and there are no hard feelings now. It sounds like people are pretty happy, but we managed to get one of our people elected. And then on top of that, not long after that, they appointed members to the planning commission, and we now have 3 members of BOPOP on planning commission, which is quite a deal. Yeah. And they're all well qualified. And it was partly because we spent a year, you know, digging into all the issues, and they kind of they realized what they were passionate about, that they could be good at this. And I'm on the Landmark Preservation Board for City of Bothell. I'm the chair. And So I actually wrote a letter for a couple of them saying, oh, I know this person, they're very well qualified, they know the issues, could be an asset to planning commission. So that was probably the one of the big things about 2020, that we got a number of people into positions of city positions.
Mm-hmm. Were those elections, was that just in November or sometime earlier in the year?
The Mason Thompson council member election was a year ago. He's been sworn in since January of 20. So, just in time for everything to blow up or fall apart. And then the planning commission seats, those are appointed by council. And they started, I think, around March of 2020 also. And they applied in early 2020 or late 2019. We did actions that resulted in changing things for this year and the following years.
So how have you adapted during this year? Have you been able to meet online, or what does your organizing gathering look like?
We realized pretty quickly we didn't want to stop meeting monthly, at least. So we transitioned to online, like everyone else, Zoom meetings. And I have a Zoom account. So we kept our time up, which is, I think now it's third Thursday of each month. It was fourth. I'm on a couple other things that bumped that time around. But we kept up our monthly meetings with online. And, it's mostly been the we hardcores who have been around for a year, year and a half. Occasionally we get a new person or two who's joined us, and, we really thank them and try and make it worth their while. So our monthly meetings have been online. They're 90 minutes once a month. Fortunately, there are people even more organized than me, and we formed a steering committee about a year ago. So we try and plan the meetings with them and plan our online content and Facebook page posts and try and get engagement.
So it's not all on your shoulders.
Right. It was at first, but, they really took ownership of it, which I'm grateful for. I probably would have grown tired trying to do it all myself forever. It's great to have three other leaders now. It was, I think, five of us, and it's now four, because one of them was, or a couple of them are actually the people who went to the planning commission, and they decided they could still be a member, but they shouldn't be on the steering committee, just for kind of conflict of interest.
I want to go back to the education piece for a second, about how you kind of started this group, sharing your books and doing some presentations and videos. I think that's wonderful. It sounds like it was a pretty positive response. I could see some folks being like, who are you to tell me about how cities work? I've lived here for forever. I suppose this was a self-selecting group who showed up, but still, how did you handle that in a way that was, not trying to preach to people, but just trying to help people understand what's going on?
Admittedly, my friends joke with me, I can be a bit strident at times, because I feel like there's not a lot of time. We got to work on these things. Climate change and everything else is involved. So, but I also know, you get more bees with honey and vinegar and all that. So, and you don't want to drive people away. So I tried to pick videos that I thought were easy to watch, that didn't make people feel ashamed or bad, that just laid out a problem and that were interesting to watch. And so that took some time, because I save a lot of things, videos and articles, and tried to figure out what I thought would be well received. Like you said, a lot of people are, because they're self-selected, they're very receptive to the message. The books, I didn't bring every book, but I would try to bring ones that I think everyone would enjoy. Walkable City for this, and I said thought that was a good introduction. So,
yeah, that's a very accessible one.
Yeah, it's very accessible. So I tried to focus on accessibility and stuff that didn't make people feel bad or feel shamed. Just, things could be more like this. And that, isn't that interesting? And here's the history behind, parking minimums. And isn't that kind of interesting? And I tried not to, obviously I'm coming from a point of view, but I wasn't strident about it at the meeting at all. I was very kind of amiable and easygoing and just kind of putting information out there. We did have a couple show up once, really nice, and they came, and they all but said they just came because they wanted to complain about traffic and parking, something like that. And they quickly realized that they were not necessarily allied with us on that. But I encouraged them to come back and keep talking with us. They didn't, but I try very hard not to drive anyone away and just make it a friendly place that we can exchange ideas and we can disagree. And there are disagreements sometimes, and it's really smart people who've fallen into the group and who found us, and you know, they push back and we have conversations. So that's really good for me to think about things I might have really strong opinions about. There are other ways to look at these problems sometimes.
Those are all wise lessons for folks. Yeah.
Thanks. Doesn't always work, but yeah. but yeah, it was mostly receptive audiences. I've been fortunate that way. The challenge we have is growing the group and finding more people receptive to the message who will give us a chance and who will listen and who will consider the ideas. And that's, you know, the United States is, we've all been taught that we should be entitled to drive our car to the front of every building and that everyone should live in a quarter acre lot in a single family home. And they're not bad people for thinking that. We've, you know, ingrained that in our culture.
That's the truth. Just a practical question that I'm curious about, and I'm sure other people listening would be too. It seems like your organization of this group, you know, took a lot of initiative on your part. Have you been able to kind of just keep it going totally volunteer led, or have you incorporated as a nonprofit staff, or is this is really a volunteer effort, just kind of casual organizing?
That's all it is. It's purely volunteer. So to answer that more thoroughly, we've discussed a number of times whether we should become 503c or be whatever, you know, a nonprofit, and how we would. We talked about having a bank account for the last year or so, and we've put it to the side for now. So we've decided to stay totally volunteer, all just out of pocket if we need to buy something or do something, just share costs and so forth. So we've deliberately kept extremely close to the ground and small and sort of non-committal, and it's purely volunteer. We've hardly had to buy or do anything. I think if we saw increased success, the plan would be to scale up. That would be the natural trajectory. I don't expect us to be like Strongtown's trajectory at all, but if we did end up having a wider audience and more of a robust group over time, which I think we could if we could meet in person. There are just things we're going to be missing out on when everything's virtual right now. So we haven't scaled up.
Yeah, that's helpful to hear. I mean, there's so much that one can do without being a formal group, you know, in some ways, like filling out all that paperwork and having like the weight of being a nonprofit that has to do reporting and things. That can be a hindrance too, I know.
Yeah, because what we emphasize is BOPOP's about educating on these issues that we're passionate about, helping people have a better understanding of how these ideas that we advocate might enhance their lives and create a better Bothell, because that's where we're focused right now. Very strong component is advocacy in person or via letter writing, going to council meetings and planning commission meetings. That's kind of the core of what we do. Is what I would see, I'm someone who goes to a lot of city council meetings and planning commission meetings and so forth, and I saw that people would show up and make a concerted effort through letter writing and through in-person visitor comments and public hearing comments. Often they would have matching t-shirts for their cause or whatever, say to get a piece of forest preserved or whatever. I saw these efforts really be successful. I thought, we can do that too. And so that was very much what we were formed around, showing up, doing the work, advocating for what we want, showing that we're not just showing up to say no, no, no. We're showing up to say yes, yes, yes. We tell council members, planning commission members, we'll support you on this or that thing that they might be thinking about bringing up. So we try to be advocates for things, ideas, policies, ordinances, codes that we would like to see furthered. So we show up and do the work.
Yeah, amen. So before we close, I want to ask, what advice do you have for other people who might be in their community, you know, they're passionate about strong towns, but they are feeling like, am I the only one in my town? There's not a formalized group. What would be the first step you would advise them to take if they wanted to move towards something like what you're doing in Bothell?
So I was lucky. We had the Bothell community-wide Facebook page, and I was able to put out a message there and kind of send out the bat signal and ask for people who with the post were interested in what I was interested in. So I would say first, if you have any sort of community, whether it's online or in person or whatever, a way that you can contact your community and reach out in some way and ask, hey, I'm interested in these things and this organization, Strong Towns, and these principles. Are you? And if so, please contact me. Here's my email, my text, my phone number. Drop me a message. That would be the first thing, is to reach out. I even did it through you guys prior to the Facebook group. It might have been you. It might have been someone else. I can't remember. I think this is around 2016 or so. I asked to be put in touch just discreetly through Strong Towns with all members who are in the Puget Sound, you know, Seattle region. And they did that, I think. And so I actually have that list still, and I reached out to them that way. I was able to find people who were willing to be contacted. There was a really discreet way. I think you guys sent me a message from Strong Towns anonymously saying, if you're interested, contact me, Carrie. So it was great. It was totally up to them. I still got some 20-something people, almost 30 people contact me voluntarily. So I still stay in touch with many of them. So that's another way that, you know, of course, that involves you guys, but that was a really effective way to find advocates in my area. And then don't be afraid to, you know, I learned this from, I always forget his name, the guy who started the really active group in South Dakota. He inspired me because, as like I said, the same as Strong Indy, their group, they just started small. The guy in South Dakota did what weekly coffee meetings at a coffee shop in person. You know, this is pre-COVID, and just said, we're going to talk about, you know, urbanist and Strong Towns and whatever issues. I mean, I think his was specifically Strong Towns based every night. I mean, every Thursday night, whatever it was, at this coffee shop. And even if he didn't show up, usually by then you had people who would show up. So you just have to put out the feelers in your community and try and find like-minded people any way you can.
Great advice. Well, thank you so much, Carrie, for taking the time to share your story and share your advice with this audience. Really appreciate it. So thanks for being here and take care.
Thank you so much.
Carrie is such a fount of information and ideas, and I hope he's given you the nudge that you need to start taking some of that to heart and putting it into practice in your own city. Today's listener message comes from Nikki in Jefferson, South Dakota. Nikki sent me an email, and I will read it for you now. I just finished listening to the first episode of The Bottom-Up Revolution. I started following Strong Towns content because my family and I are starting a brewery and sausage joint in our small rural town in South Dakota. There are little businesses here or support by way of the city just because it is so small. I was looking for ideas about how to mobilize our town and what I could ask for from the city council. And then Nikki goes on to talk about how she used to live in Milwaukee like me and really appreciated hearing Alexander Hagler's story, which is the very first episode of this show. And then she finishes, I've lived in a number of cities before, and since then, I've never really experienced the type of grit and magic like the people have in Milwaukee and how they build their communities from it. I only hope we can muster some of our own magic here in Jefferson as we try to start something from pretty close to nothing, making a place for our community to gather and building an opportunity to make the culture we want to be part of. Sometimes I feel like podcasts have been my coworkers as I work towards this mostly on my own. Thanks again for the great help. Nikki, thank you for listening to the show and for those kind words. And it's wonderful to hear about how you are taking this leap to grow a small community business. We wish you well. Friends, if you've got a story to share about how you are taking action and contributing to the bottom-up revolution in big and small ways in your community, we want to hear about it. Record a voicemail on your phone or just write a quick email like Nikki did and send it to me, rachel@strongtowns.org, R-A-C-H-E-L @strongtowns.org. All right, so I promised you a big announcement, and here it is. This February and March, you are invited to join Strong Towns for our inaugural Local Motive Tour, a series of 10 action-oriented online events that will equip you with the tools you need to make your community more economically resilient. We've got a host of smart, experienced guests, plus core Strong Town speakers. I'm going to be helping out presenting two of them. And these folks are all going to teach you on a range of topics, everything from how to choose your next bike lane battle to how to talk to a NIMBY to how to build a better local food system. Head to strongtowns.org/localmotive to get your ticket. And there's also going to be a button in our top menu bar if you're on our site. And I'll throw that link in the show notes as well. This event series kicks off February 4th. So if you'd like to join for the whole thing, you're going to want to sign up soon so you can hop aboard. Yes, this whole tour has a train theme. We're very excited about it. It's a little bit cheesy, but I think it'll be fun. And the content will not be cheesy. It will be very actionable. So anyway, strongtowns.org/localmotive. Jump on, join us. We'd love to have you for this tour. All right, that's our show for you today. I will see you next week for the next episode of the Bottom Up Revolution. Take care.